message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Title of the message is Following Jesus. We've got 9 people that they decided to follow Jesus some time back, but water baptism is their statement and declaration to you of their decision to follow after Jesus. And so I want to talk about that. You know, whenever you read your New Testament, you'll find out that Simon and Peter were called by Jesus to follow him, and they immediately left their nets, left the biggest catch of their life on the bank, and they followed Jesus. Whenever James and John were called to follow Jesus, they left their boat and nets, and they left their father, and they took off and followed after Jesus. You would think everybody that was invited to follow Jesus would say, yes. And they would make that the new priority. Well, I want us to look at the story of someone who was invited and turned it down. You can find this story in 3 of the 4 Gospels. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that this man was young. The Gospel of Luke tells us that he was a ruler, a leader. And then you go to the Gospel of Mark, you learn that not only that, he's also rich. You've heard of him, the rich young ruler. Now, what I really like is he's rich and young. A lot of people, they start getting some wealth as they get older. They finally have accumulated. But while they were young, they weren't so rich. But he has got both health and wealth. Because, you know, as we start accumulating the wealth, we start losing the health, and we have to go see Robert and get screened. But he is both young and strong, and he's got the money, and he's got the health. You know, as you get older, you spend your wealth to get your health, and while you're younger, you spend your health to get the wealth. But having them both at the same time is pretty nice. He's the rich, young ruler. And I'm going to go to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I'm going to read 2 verses to you. Be on the screen. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him and said this, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That word inherit, if you look it up in the original language, just means to share. What must I do to share with you and others eternal life? I don't know that there's a more important question. Now, there's some important questions in life. Do you want to take this job? That may determine where you live, whether you got to move and uproot. Pretty big question. Probably an even bigger one. Will you marry me? Big question. You know, the way that you answer the big questions determines your course of life. Some questions, not so much. Baked potato or fries? Yeah. Both. Go see Robert. But the big questions, the answers you give to the big questions determine your life. So this is a big one. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And the very fact that he asked the question kind of leaves the implication there that it's just not automatic. It's just not everybody goes no matter what. There is that belief out there. It'd be nice if it was true, but it's not. So that's verse 17. Now, verses 18, 19, 20, they have a little bit of discourse. I'm going to bypass that because there's a lot in there. And if I start digging into that, we'll be too long. So let's jump over to verse 21. Jesus looks at him and catch this and loved him. I want you to know Jesus loves you this morning. Amen. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday or this morning. Doesn't matter about your history, your past, your skin color. Jesus loves you. Yes. Jesus looked at him and loved him and said this. One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Again, title of the message is Following Jesus. I want you to catch a little bit of what he said there. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus gives him 2 things after their discourse. He says, go sell everything that you have, and then come follow me. Now, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, so to follow Jesus, I got to sell everything that I have first? Well, no. Who is this man? He's the rich young ruler. You know what's most important to this man? His riches. His money. everything that he has, his possessions. That's what matters to him most. And so Jesus tells him to go sell what you have and then come and follow me. See, the Bible says this, that God is a jealous God. Now, we think jealousy is a bad thing, and it can be a bad thing, but there is a legitimate jealousy, and God has that. We rightfully belong to him, and God is a jealous God. The first commandment of the 10 old commandments are what? You shall have no other gods before me. You know what God is telling us and what he's telling this rich young ruler? I want first place in your life. I want to sit on the throne of your heart. I want to be the most important thing going on with you. And so what does Jesus do? He cuts to the chase and he goes right to the root of this man's heart. And Jesus looks at what's most important to him and Jesus says, let me have that spot. Go sell what you have. For me, it was letting go of a particular style of music and a particular ambition and dream that I had. Jesus said, let that go, let me come in if you want to follow me. So it's not that you're sitting here and have to sell everything that you have, because for some people that would be an easy thing. It's always a hard thing to give up what's most important to you, because Jesus wants that place right there. He wants to be most important. So go sell what you have and then come and follow me. Now, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him, right? And so salvation is just through believing in him, and I'm not coming against that, but I think sometimes we don't understand that the word believe has a little bit more teeth in it than we know. You can't just say, well, I acknowledge his existence. It's more than acknowledging that God is real, because the Bible says that the demons believe in God, yet they tremble. So this word believe is more than just simply acknowledging that he is. It's a belief that has a commitment involved. So sell what you have and then come and follow me. That was the answer to what? The question, what must I do to have eternal life? Give me first place and follow me. Now, I've been following Jesus for a long time. And I've gotten lost while following him a number of times. It's not about perfection. I like what our evangelist said last week. Tony Gonzalez was with us for a couple of services. He said, I'm going to heaven with bruises on my knees and elbows, because I'm falling down and getting back up, falling down and getting back up, falling down and getting back up. The righteous fall 7 times, but they get up again. So it's not about you being perfect. It's about you having a new goal in life, and that is to follow after the teachings of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and your spirit. Through both, would you speak to our hearts today? Amen. I'm going to give you 5 things today, and then we're going to baptize some folks. 5 things on following Jesus. Number one, following Jesus is a solo decision. It's not a cattle call. It's not a crowd thing. Now, I know stories and testimonies of people who their whole family came up and surrendered to Jesus at the same time. That's awesome. That can happen. I know stories where a man and his wife came up together and surrendered to Jesus. That's awesome. We would certainly encourage that. But what I'm talking about here is if you're going to follow Jesus, the decision to follow him cannot hinge on the condition that somebody else goes with you. It can't hinge on the condition that I'll follow him as long as my friends also follow him, because, you know, they're my friends. And if we can follow him together, we would be awesome. Well, what if your friends don't want to go? What are you going to do? See, following Jesus is a solo decision. It's not a crowd decision. It's a personal decision. That old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I think it's the 2nd verse. Though none go with me, still I will follow. It's a solo decision. The night that I gave my heart to the Lord, I wasn't by myself. Well, not at all. The place was full. But I went to the church with my friend. I'm a drummer. He's a guitar player. We spent a lot of time together, and we went to church together, and we sat there. By the way, we were both lost, but he was worse than me. It's my story. And whenever the call was made to raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus, now it was all heads bowed and eyes closed. So I did that. I didn't even peek at my friend. Because I know I've seen some of y'all. It's like, if my friend raises his hand, I'll raise mine. No, it's a solo decision. Will you raise your hand by yourself? If your friend don't want to go, by the way, he didn't. He stayed. He sat right beside me. I made the decision. He did not. Now, I believe he made a decision later, but on that night, he did not. It's a personal decision. It's a solo decision. Y'all may remember Paul I. We've had Paul I on this platform a couple of times in the last many years. Paul I, a little older than me, was the superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Vietnam. And at this time in Vietnam, it was against the law. There was no, you could have a church, but you had to keep it hidden. It had to be underground. And so Paul I, he went to prison a number of times, I think four or five different times. He spent a total of 10 and a half years in prison. Not for robbing a store, not for doing anything wrong, but for preaching the gospel. In fact, in Vietnam, you can't even be ordained as an Assemblies of God minister until you've been to prison at least once. That's for real. I don't even feel worthy to preach his story, but I'm going to tell a little bit of it. So there's a crusade going on, and people are getting saved, and Paul I is a witch doctor, and he's way up in the leadership. He's got tattoos all over his body, Buddhas and different things, just all spiritual stuff, dark stuff. He's a witch doctor, and he goes to this crusade because people that he serves and people that serve him, part of his group and tribe, are getting saved and coming to Jesus. This isn't good for business. So he goes to the service, and the Lord convicts him, and he makes a decision for the Lord. Now, Vietnam, especially then, a little different than it is here in America. He goes home. By the time he got home, word had already spread what had happened to Paul I. His grandfather was at the house and had already heard through the grapevine what his grandson did. Paul I works in the house, and his grandfather asked him this question: were you there to mock the missionaries? Are you serious about Jesus? And Paul I said, I'm serious about it. And the grandfather said, well, I'll tell you what, go to bed, get some rest, and in the morning, when you wake up, if you can tell me that you were there to mock the missionaries, things will be fine. But if you remain serious about Jesus, you can pack your bags and you can leave and you will lose your inheritance. Following Jesus is a solo decision. Well, about this time, there's a knock at the door. The grandfather goes, and it's another witch doctor. And the grandfather's thinking, the witch doctor has come to talk some sense into his grandson. So he invites the witch doctor in. And the witch doctor and Paul begin to have a conversation. And when it's done, that witch doctor gives his heart to Jesus. Things are getting worse, actually better. Paul I ends up leading seven witch doctors to Jesus in the first week of his salvation. Now, he went to sleep, he woke up, and I forget the song that he woke up singing, but his decision remained the same. I'm going to follow Jesus. So back to this, following Jesus is a solo decision. Will you follow Jesus even if your friend doesn't? Will you follow Jesus even if one of your loved ones doesn't? And here's another question. Will you keep following Jesus if one of your friends who's already following Jesus with you decides to quit following Jesus? I want to lead into the second point. Following Jesus won't answer all your questions. There's another verse in that song. I think somebody added it later. It's not a popular verse, but that verse, that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, there's a verse that says this: though I may wonder, still I will follow. And the word wonder means figure out, don't understand it, I don't get it. Following Jesus won't answer all your questions. How many of you got some questions about life? I do. And I'm going to tell you, now that I follow Jesus, some of them questions have been answered. But for every question I get answered, I get about two or three more. So here's the thing, you're going to go to heaven with questions unanswered. You're not going to get them all answered. Following Jesus won't answer all your questions. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen for bad people. Figure that out. I've told you this story before. It's a Monday night prayer meeting. We're here praying, a few of us, maybe a dozen or so, and it's time to go. And so people are leaving, and I'm leaving. And as I walk up, I walk right down this aisle. And right here, right about where that camera is, somebody's laying on their face. She's laying on her face just praying. I go home. I'm sitting at the table. Within an hour, the phone rings. Her husband has died. She's at a prayer meeting. Her husband is dying at home. I don't get that. The question why will haunt you at times. And even though you know Jesus, the question why will haunt you at times. Following Jesus will not answer all of your questions. In fact, a lot of people quit following because of the question why. See, the question why is usually attached to pain. It's usually attached to a hurt in your life. Something goes on and you can't figure it out, and so you leave. People leave church and quit going to church. Some people leave their faith and shipwreck their faith. You know, when people leave church, I mean, I've been a pastor a long time and I've seen it. It's like dominoes. You know when one domino falls? Somebody leaves and it's like they were attached to a certain part of the church, and so others start leaving. Well, if so-and-so leaves, I'm leaving. You know, leaving church is one thing. People leave for all kinds of reasons. But leaving your faith, that's another thing. In John chapter 6, it's verses 32 through 65. I'm not going to read those 30-plus verses. But Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he shares with them that some things are difficult. I just want to back up what I'm telling you. Some things are difficult. Jesus said so. And in verse 66, after sharing some things that are difficult, in verse 66, this is John chapter 6, verse 66. Can't be good. It says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back. Who turned back? His disciples, not the 12, but many of his followers turned back and no longer followed him. Why? They couldn't figure out the stuff that he said. They couldn't answer the questions. And I'm telling you, following Jesus won't answer all your questions. The next verse, Jesus looks at the 12 and he says, you don't want to leave too, do you? And they didn't. I'll come back and tag that in just a minute. But I want to back up to verse 60. Starting at verse 32, Jesus starts talking about things that are difficult for them. And here's part of what he said. Jesus claimed to be the bread of life. And just like the manna in the Old Testament came down and fed the children of Israel, Jesus is the bread of life that falls and came from heaven. They couldn't handle that. Now, we're going like, I'm good with that. No, but there are some things that you struggle with. And they were struggling with this right here. And they said this. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Because he went on to say that you got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. It does sound a little weird, doesn't it? In the message, it says it this way. This is a tough teaching, too tough to swallow. How many of you know that following Jesus, there's some things that you just got to choke down? And it's not always easy. Well, I can do all things. Yeah, that's easy to swallow. Especially when we swallow it out of context. Just let that go. Tithing is hard to choke down for some, isn't it? I'm still smiling. Being pure as a single person. Well, yeah, but that was back. Following the teachings of Jesus. It's not always easy. Jesus claimed to be the bread of life, the bread of life that came down from heaven. And see, we've got our stuff today because the Bible's over here and society used to be over here. The Bible is still over here and society is moving that way. And yet the Bible is still right here. And yet the society keeps going that way. Yet Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm the God that changes not right here. And the word of the Lord endures forever right here. So the things that we embraced 50 years ago were easy to embrace because we had the support of society. But now society's moving on. Can you follow Jesus without society having your back? Can you choke down some of the what's considered controversial? You know what's controversial today? Don't stone me. I'm going to say something. Are you ready? There's two genders. This is a hard saying. This is too tough to swallow. I know there's at least 67. I'm just telling you, as society continues to spiral downward, as our nation continues to break down and we move further and further into darkness and confusion, you're going to be more and more of an oddball and a misfit in this place that's not your home.
That's true.
Yeah, but I don't get it. Following Jesus won't help you get everything. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, I just want to say that prayer and be done. Maybe baptized too. I don't know. We'll see. No. What does following Jesus mean? Follow after the teachings of, in the day of Jesus, they followed Jesus, literally followed Jesus. And he taught them. Now that he's gone, with the Spirit of God, teaches us and leads us and guides us into truth, we still follow Jesus by following his teachings. His words are truth. And here's the thing. You may not always follow all he says. I know our flesh gets in the way, but you have no right to change what he said. See, it's one thing to not follow what he said because you blew it. It's another thing to say, well, this is what he means. No, you have no permission to rewrite scriptures just because it's convenient for you. I've told you this before. If you want to do that, just write down all the stuff you like, get on the internet, and I guarantee you there's a group out there you can belong to. You can find people that believe anything and everything. So if you just want to, you know, cut the Bible up and piece it together so that it fits your life, you can do that. But what you're supposed to do is cause your life to fit the Bible. Follow the teachings of Jesus. Trust him, amen? I'd like to tell you it's going to get better, but it's not. It's not. I told you this sometime back when homosexuality wasn't normalized, and we were, now that's normal. Even in the church, a lot of church, it's just normal. And so now that we've got that normalized, we'll go to transgenderism. And I spoke on that about 3 years ago. I said, it's coming. Let me just, you can mark it down. I'll tell you what's next. And it's already happening. Pedophilia is next. That is the next thing to be normalized. Oh, pastor, he is, we're not coming to this church again. There was the same response back when I said what I said about transgender. You know the story, the old frog in the water. Hello, frogs. We're the frog. And we're in the culture. And the climate of the culture just continues to change gradually. So we just suck right into it. I forget who said this. They said this about the church. Wherever the world is, give it 10 years, the church will be there. So the world's moving that way. We're holding ground. Okay, they got a 10-year head start. Now we start moving. And as they move into that, we move into this. And as they move into that, we move into this. And they look back at us and they say, well, you're out of touch. We did that a long time ago. You think they're out of touch? I'm still trying to be back here. Man, I am a misfit deluxe.
Praise God.
You mean you don't believe homosexuality is normal? I don't even believe men and women should sleep together before they get married. That's how weird I am. Oh. I am angry. Whatever. Oh, no, here it is. Whatsoever. Whatsoever. It's a King James whatever. Listen, there's a lot of things I believe that I stumble in. It doesn't mean I rewrite it and quit believing it. It just means I repent and confess and try to get back here and do better. I try to do like the woman caught in adultery. Go and sin no more.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're visiting, I want to thank you for coming. Number three, following Jesus won't remove all your pain. Following Jesus won't answer all your questions. and it won't remove your pain. I think this was a little, I don't think it's popular anymore, but I think we've learned our lesson. People would say, if you want your life to go good, come follow Jesus. It will be better, because going to heaven beats going to hell. But following Jesus doesn't erase all your problems.
No.
Following Jesus doesn't remove all your pain.
No.
Following Jesus doesn't make you immune to the stuff that's going on. So the decision to follow Jesus can't hinge on the condition that things always go your way. I want to tell you a story on this one. Toby McKeehan. Some of you know that name, Toby McKeehan. He's better known as Toby Mac. Toby Mac is a Christian artist. I like Toby Mac's stuff. Mm-hmm. He sings one of my favorite songs, Your Love Broke Through. Another one is Made to Love Him. I think we're going to play that one a little later for you in the background. But anyway, Toby Mac is 58 years old now. He's been around a long time doing the Christian music for a long time. He started out in a band called DC Talk. Can I see the hands who remember DC Talk? Now, if you didn't like DC Talk, don't raise your hand. I know that he's not everybody's flavor, but I really like his stuff. And this guy is not just a great artist. He's got a lot of depth. I heard him in an interview on KSBJ one day, and as I listened to him, I could tell him he's not a shallow person. You know, a lot of times, maybe it's just me, but we look at musicians and it's like, well, all they can do is play guitar. They're probably stupid. You know, I don't know why this is coming to mind, but it is. And sometimes I just let it out. So, not endorsing the group called Kiss, but Gene Simmons was the bass player for Kiss and the fire breather of Kiss. He speaks either 5 or 7 languages. The man is brilliant. Ted Nugent is brilliant. Just because they're on the stage doing things you don't like doesn't mean they don't have a brain. And Toby Mac is quite deep in his faith. If you read the lyrics to his songs, if you don't like the music, read the lyrics. You'll see he's got some depth to his Christianity. So he's 58 years old. He's married to Amanda for 28 years now, 5 kids, and he's at the Dove Awards on October the 15th, 2019. Stephen Curtis Chapman is also there. Anybody know Stephen Curtis Chapman? Still around. And he's singing the song, The Great Adventure. Anybody else? 3 of us. I'm down to 3 of us. Know that song? The Great Adventure. In 2008, Stephen Curtis Chapman had 3 biological children, 3 adopted girls. In 2008, one of his sons ran over one of his little adopted girls, and she died. I remember hearing that on the radio. I remember my heart being immediately broken. He lost his daughter. Well, now we're at the Dove Awards 11 years later. Stephen Curtis Chapman sings that song. Toby Mac sings a song of his called The Elements. And the camera pans over, and while he's singing, it shows his wife, Amanda, sitting there in the audience. And you can tell she's happy. She's proud of her husband. A week after that, they lose their son, and she's now in the same circle as Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife, Beth. Yeah. Their son was 21 years old. His name was Truett. He was found on October the 23rd, one day after his daddy's birthday. Died of cardiac arrest. Found out later it was accidental drug overdose. He took some drugs that were laced with fentanyl. Now, if you're sitting there going, well, he didn't even know Jesus. No, he did. Truett knew Jesus, but he did drugs, and you do stuff. Let's be careful, church. Toby testifies about his son. He said he loved God, but he had this secret battle going on. And then he got a hold of some stuff off the street. Can I just say something like this? Because some of your sons and daughters, they're trying to love Jesus, but they're also fighting battles out there. And they need your help and not your judgment. And just because they lose a battle here and there doesn't mean that God has turned his back on them.
Yeah.
God knows those who belong to him. And so here's what I do want to say, though, as a little caveat in this moment right here. We do not endorse drugs at all. But can I just tell you that today is a very dangerous day to even experiment and try things like this because of fentanyl? And because of people that you can't trust that are lacing the drugs, trying to get the drugs more potent, and they overdo it, and these drugs, many have died because of fentanyl. You need to stay away from it. Toby Mac said this after the death of his son. He came back later. I don't know how long it was, but he said, "My wife and I would want the world to know this. We don't follow God because we have some sort of under the table deal with him. Like, we'll follow you as long as you bless us. We follow God because we love him. It's our honor. He is the God of the hills and valleys. And he is beautiful above all things." In another place, he said this, talking to God. He said, "I'm going to trust you through this." Here's your fourth point. We follow Jesus because we love him and trust him. Yes. Not because all our questions get answered. Not because all the pain is going away. We don't follow Jesus for any of that stuff. We follow him because we love him and we trust him. Toby said, "I have no under-the-table deal with God." In other words, agreement. We don't have an agreement with God. If you'll do something for me, I'll do something for you. You don't make the decision to follow Jesus. I'll follow you as long as you don't let this. There is no as long as in a decision to follow Jesus. Here's the deal. Jesus took your sin and you received his righteousness. That's the deal you have. He paid the price and took your place on Calvary's cross, and you don't have to. That's your deal. There is no other deal that he'll do this as long as you did that and vice versa. No, the deal is he paid for your sin so that you could live eternally. That's the deal.
Praise the Lord.
Now, a lot of people have bargained with God, made vows to God, and I've seen God come through on some of that, and people have kept their vows and people have broken their vows. But the thing is, when you make a decision to follow Jesus, you make it because you love him and you trust him.
Amen.
And why do you love him? He took your place on Calvary's cross and he made a way for you eternally. See, we're locked into this 80, 90 years down here, but this is a drop in the bucket against the backdrop of eternity. What about eternity? He secured the deal for you. But there's no guarantees here. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust.
Yes.
And when it starts raining on you, are you going to keep loving him and trusting him? And I don't say that lightly. I've questioned myself many times as I watch somebody go through something. I'm like, "Lord, would my faith stand through that right there?" I am not here to cast judgment. I admire, there's some of you in this very room, I admire you because of the faith that you have held on to after going through what you faced. I've been told that God will give you the grace you need, but not until you need it. I'm trusting that to be true.
Yes.
He's the God of the hills and valleys. Man, I think I've had a lot more hills because I said yes to Jesus. But that doesn't mean we're immune to valleys. We follow him because we love him and trust him. Now I want to go back to John 6. I told you I would answer that. When Jesus said to the 12 disciples, after many had, you know, that's a tough saying, too tough to swallow, and they left Jesus. In John 6:6, they turned and left. And they're no longer following Jesus. And Jesus looks at the 12 and he says, "Do you want to leave too?" In the next verse, Peter answers, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Final point, we follow Jesus. Yes, we love him and trust him, but we also follow Jesus because he is the one.
Amen.
He's the one. Back to him, the witch doctor got saved. He is still serving Jesus, still following after the Lord. So many miracles in his life. But if you remember his story, he served before he met Jesus. He served a very specific number of gods, 3,366 gods. That's a lot of gods. These are his words. "Friend," I don't remember who he's talking to, but one of the witch doctors trying to talk him out of it. He said, "Friend, you know that even though I served 3,366 gods, deep in my heart, I was lonely, empty, and worried. I didn't know what was going to happen to us in the future. But now I have found that Jesus has a bright future for us, and he has a bright future for me." And he turned in his 3,366 gods for the one true God.
Amen.
Our evangelist last week, if you remember the number, he said before he met Jesus, he served 200 gods. Paul I would look at him and go, "Nothing." 200 gods. And Jesus made himself very real to him. You ought to listen to his testimony. Sunday night, it's on the website. You can listen to it. It's an amazing, miraculous story of how Jesus made himself real to him. He turned in his 200 gods for the one true God. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. I don't care how many gods you get, there's only one door.
Amen.
There's only one door, and his name is Jesus. Close with this story here. 14-year-old boy is in the car with his dad. They're having a heart-to-heart conversation. He says this. The boy says, "Dad, I think that if I had not been raised in a Christian home, I would not be a Christian." Dad resisted panic, stayed calm, and asked, "Why do you think that?" And the boy responded, "I have way too many doubts and questions." And the dad says, "Oh, I have those too. What are you going to do?" And the boy's reply, probably more profound than he realized, says this, "Well, I've met God. So what are you supposed to do?" Have you met him?
Yes.
Then no matter what comes your way, what are the options? Is there? Are you going to turn Jesus in and grab five new gods? What are you going to do once you've met him?
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may his peace be yours today.